Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business, and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, welcome everyone, welcome. And I want to say a happy new year, since this is our first show of 2013. And I, for one, am expecting, not hoping for, not wishing for, but I am expecting a fabulous year this year. I want one much better than last year. And I wish the same for you. And moving forward into 2013, this, of course, is the time when people set new goals or resolutions. But studies show that only 8 to 9% of us will actually stick to those resolutions. So we'll kick off today's hour by sharing 8 quick tips to help you stay on track. Then we'll feature a businessman, food entrepreneur, and CEO of Marks Foods, Justin Marks. From pheasant sausage with cognac to artisan coconut jam, his business is all about authenticity, transparency, and sustainable living. And the most delicious and unique adventures with food. Really, I'm being really serious. I'm a dedicated foodie. And I was so impressed when I went down to their showroom in Seattle. And I'm looking forward to talking to him in a moment. I actually met Justin at a food event in Seattle last October. And was impressed with his energy and the great food that he was sharing. And since then, I've been down to a private tasting at the showroom, which, as I said, is really fabulous. So he's going to come on in just a few moments and tell us how he took his vision from a picture in his head to reality. And I'm looking forward to that. First of all, I want to welcome Mr. Eric Ryder back. We missed you. I missed you last week.
Good afternoon and Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year, Eric. I hope you had a fantastic holiday.
I did, yeah. And I as much as I did miss being here, I definitely enjoyed having just a little time off.
Oh, I'm sure. We all enjoy having time off. And you went down to California, so you didn't get stuck in any snowdrifts on the freeway.
I did not, which was very nice. You know, I didn't have to chain up or anything.
So. Well, that's good. Yeah. Well, pleased to have you back here, and looking forward to another year with you.
Amen. Me too.
Didn't sound too sure about that.
Well, I thought you were going to say, are you expecting an excellent 2013? And I was going to say, I'm demanding
it. There
2013.
We go. Well, we've got 8 quick tips here to help you stick to your New Year's resolutions. And these are all things I cover in the transition series workshops that I put on. But as I said, we know from significant studies that only 8 to 9% of us will actually keep that resolve. Mm-hmm. And so let's run through these 8 tips really quick, and then we can bring on our guest, Justin Marks.
Sure, sure. Should we go 10 or 8 to 1 or 1 to 8?
Top to bottom's good.
Top to bottom. Okay. Number one, be very specific about your resolution.
Yes, it's not enough just to say, you know, I'm going to talk about weight, because most people have usually gained a couple of pounds over the holidays, and many, many people want to lose a few pounds in the new year.
This is my resolution right there.
We'll focus on that. But it's not enough just to say, you know, I'm going to lose weight. You have to get very specific. An example of that would be, I want to lose 25 pounds at 5 pounds a month so that I look hot in my new dress for Jackie's graduation on June 17th, 2013. And, you know, your goals have to be realistic, achievable, right, and write them down. That is a key factor. And state why. The why is a huge factor in driving you forward.
All right. Well, number 2, limit the number of resolutions you make. It's better to do one thing well than several things poorly or not at all. Don't overwhelm yourself into failure.
Yeah, if you've already started falling down on your list, chances are you've got too much stuff on there, or you haven't made your goals specific or realistic. So, you know, in this case, if you're already failing, go back to number 1 and start over. And it's better to have, you know, 1, 2, or 3 very clear goals than a dozen that you'd like to get to and may not. Okay,
number 3, keep your goal list in a visible place.
Yeah, that's really important. Constant reminder, you know, carry in your wallet, in your day planner, on your iPhone, stick it on the wall next to your desk, put it on your computer as a screensaver, whatever works. But keep that list in front of you so you look at it at least once on a daily basis. I try to look at mine in the morning and again at night when I clock off.
Do you think that the act of writing down the resolution or typing out the resolution is helpful as well?
I think it's critical. Yeah, and I'll tell you why. Because it commits to memory, for one. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that writing it down that just solidifies it for you. So, but having that list there, having that written list there for you is really important.
All right. Number four, take immediate action.
Yeah, this is no good setting your resolutions, your goals, if you don't take immediate action. You really want to start plunging straight into them and doing something immediately. Now, let's say you want to lose weight. You might want to make a doctor's appointment. You want to talk with a dietitian. You might want to talk with a nutrition counselor. You might want to sign up for a gym membership and then go to the gym or buy equipment that you need. If you want to write a book, you want to write your first page or start your outline, just take action.
Or put down that donut. Number five, ask for help and support.
This is key, and who you ask for help and support is key. As we know from many talking with many psychologists and scientists over the years, you know, who you ask for help is critical. You want to ask somebody that you know is going to be supportive of you and what you want to achieve. If you know somebody's going to be a secret saboteur, don't tell them what you're up to. Okay?
Don't ask the donut guy, ask your friend.
That's right.
Number six, practice new behaviors that encourage success.
Patience is good too, Eric.
Yes. You got to have patience while you practice.
That's right.
New behaviors.
You have to have patience with yourself because you may trip, and that's okay as long as you get back on track. And practicing new behaviors that encourage success, don't put yourself into temptation's way. You know, if you have been to rehab, they don't send you back into a world of drugs or alcohol or whatever your rehab has been. You want to stay away from people who are going to tempt you off your track. So if you want to give up smoking, you definitely don't want to go to casinos or hang out on the corner where all your buddies smoke at work, because it's just tempting. It's tempting fate there, right?
Absolutely. Okay, number seven, substitute a good habit for the one you want to break.
Yes, we know that we don't lose a habit, we don't stop a habit, we don't break a habit, we replace a habit. And that is a critical factor in these 8 tips. So if your goal is, for example, to eat less junk food, you want to find a healthy substitute that you like. Not just a healthy substitute. The key thing is you need to like it. You know, I have a very sweet tooth. So if I replace it with carrot sticks, it's not really going to do it for me.
Right.
For me. But, you know, it might if I replace it with an apple, which is a little more sweet. Although carrots can be quite sweet, but they don't appeal to me that much. Replace it with something that appeals to you, that is a healthy alternative. And, you know, if you want to spend more time doing your artwork, for example, then book it on your schedule before you add anything else on there. You've got to replace that bad habit, whether it's procrastination, eating too much, eating junk food, with something that's good and something that's moving you forward to help you meet your resolutions.
All right. Number eight, set incremental goals and reward yourself.
Yeah, this is critical. You know, when you are on a work project, you have a goal and you have milestones on your timeline, and you have to check in with whomever, the rest of your team or your client or your boss, to say, okay, this part is done. Set little milestones for yourself. And when you've achieved them, make sure you reward yourself. For example, if you want to save money every time you've put away X amount, then treat yourself, but hopefully not in a monetary way. Just as if you want to lose weight and you've lost, say, 10 pounds, don't treat yourself with food. Find a different way to treat yourself. But do recognize that you've achieved that, and do reward yourself. That's critical. And I think if you take those 8 tips, you're well on your way to helping yourself succeed. All right?
All right.
All right.
Excellent.
I'm going to hold you to it. Hold myself to it, right? Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I am delighted to bring to you Justin Marks of Marks Foods. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and we will be right back.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals and Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Joanne Fleischer was a seemingly happily married mom with a loving husband living the suburban life. That is, until she fell in love with another woman and the world as she knew it turned inside out. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for more than 200 podcasts on topics from health, wealth, and personal growth to running your own business, career strategies, and chasing adventure.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, my guest in this segment is Justin Marks. He's the CEO of Marks Foods and the new Seattle showroom in Lower Queen Anne. He's traveled to over 25 countries in his 20s and somewhere in there managed to graduate magnum cum laude with a BS in business administration from Buffalo University. Along with his brothers, Keith and Garrett, Justin then became the fifth generation in the Marks family business. And I'm going to bring Justin on so he can tell us his journey in his own words. Justin Marks, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Very pleased to have you here, Justin. I love what you're doing. And I think, you know, as we talk, our listeners will love to learn more about you and what you're doing. So let's go back to the early days. You grew up in a family business. It started, I believe, in 1895, is it?
Yep.
Yep, fifth generation. And you were just 3 years old when your father started taking you out to livestock auctions. Do you remember that time?
Those were the earliest memories. It probably started way before then. I was kind of always a tag along with my father.
Okay. And then by the time you were 11, you were actually working with him mm-hmm. in the business?
Yeah, we're big fans of child labor in my family, for sure.
My family, too.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Probably most family businesses. But yeah, during the summers, we lived on the Jersey Shore. And in the morning, when I was 11, for the first summer, I'd go to work with my father in the morning. And then my mom would come pick me up. And by morning, I mean like 5 in the morning. Because we owned a slaughterhouse when I was young. And then my mom would come pick me up later in the morning and take me to the beach for the rest of the day. So
Right. Well, that was a nice treat, going to the beach for the rest of the day. So eventually, you grew up all around the food industry then. So you mentioned you had a slaughterhouse then. And
yes.
Is that how the business originated?
Yeah. If you trace back the male lineage of my family, we were butchers from as far back as we can trace. And that when we immigrated in 1895, that's we set up as butchers right away. So surely back in Germany, we were butchers long before then. Who knows how long back?
Oh, interesting. My family on the one side were, they grew cattle. They raised cattle.
Mm-hmm.
At Herefords, they were in Herefordshire. Then, once you leave school, or were you traveling while you were at school? How did the travel bit come into play?
Well, my travel started when I studied abroad in college,
mm-hmm.
On a program called Semester at Sea. So we got 9 countries out of the way on that trip.
Wow!
And that just kind of gave me an appetite for it. And after that, every opportunity I could get, I took, and I hit the road. And I was pretty lucky. I had a lot of opportunities.
Mm. And you took a BS in business administration. Why did you choose business administration?
Well, I don't know. Just like I always knew that I'd be in the food business and the family business, I kind of always knew I wanted to be in business. So business seemed like the logical choice. I went to law school also, and that was not as logical of a choice back then, but that worked out really well too.
And you grew up, where exactly did you grow up?
I grew up in the Jersey Shore. I moved to...
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I moved to Long Island when I was 14 and lived in Great Neck for a few years and then went off to college.
Mm-hmm. And so then I read that it was love that brought you to Seattle.
It was. It was actually my college sweetheart. We dated through college and we broke up towards the end of college for a couple of years. And when we got back together, Tara was already on her way out here. So we did the long distance thing for a little while. I fell back in love with her and I also fell in love with Seattle. And
mm-hmm.
And escape the East Coast, as I like to.
And she's a naturopath, right? So, of course, yeah. This is the perfect place for Tara to practice that, yeah?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So you come out, so you've been ensconced in the family business for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's basically all you knew, really. You're moving out here to Seattle, a foreign city on the opposite coast. What happened then with your father? He offered you a deal.
Well, when I first moved, I kind of thought that I was giving up the family business. And, you know, I guess like anybody else, when faced with a choice between something and love, I tend to choose love. So I thought that I was saying goodbye to it. And then maybe 6 to 9 months or so after I moved here, my father reached out to me and said, you know, I've got an idea for how we can work together. And I was all over it.
And what was the idea? He wanted you to open up a West Coast office, but at this point you were just online?
We were not even online
yet.
You
weren't even online then?
No, actually, that was probably one of my earliest contributions to the company, was bringing us into the digital age. So, God, it's been so long, I can't even remember the work that I did that first year, but it was principally in the areas of marketing. And, of course, I was fresh out of law school, so did a lot of legal work in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then it grew from there. Mm-hmm. And when I started, it was just a desk in my one-bedroom apartment in downtown Seattle, and over time, things have grown.
Right, right. So your company used to, I'm reading here, supply about, you had 400 of the top restaurant chefs in the country. So traditionally, you were a boutique high-end restaurant distributor. Tell us how that worked.
Well, and we still are. In fact, we also do a lot of wholesale trading. So we move product, mostly meats, all over the country by the pallet load. So we sell to a lot of distributors that sell to restaurants. And then in 1996, my father was looking to go direct to restaurants. And around that time, FedEx was also making their big .com play, and they were going to put together this big mall where if they put all the shops in the mall, everybody would have to ship via FedEx, and they were going to, you know, own the web or something like that.
Right, right.
So they had invited him to be part of that. So kind of the confluence of those two things made him want to start selling to restaurants. And we still do all of these things. We sell to white tablecloth restaurants throughout the country. And then about 5 years ago, we were increasingly being approached by consumers who wanted to shop like the pros. So we were trying to sell to home cooks via the same thing, salespeople, et cetera, et cetera. It just wasn't working out. Our salespeople weren't able. It was taking too much time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to launch a website. So we launched a website. That didn't work. Then we launched another one. That didn't work. And then the third time worked. And actually, now technically, we're working on the 6th version of marksfoods.com. So in a way, we're on our 9th iteration of our online business.
So the lessons in those first trial and error runs were what for you?
Well, the first website that we put up was very much a Me Too company. We went after basically the online steak business. And at the end of the day, we ended up looking just like a lot of the other players that are online already and selling steaks.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't really have any traction. We did a little bit of business, but we abandoned that. And so I think that maybe there was a lot of early lessons, because there's so many aspects to selling online. But one of the lessons was that we needed to develop a real distinct identity.
Yeah, and I think you've accomplished that now, don't you?
I do. Thank you. Yeah. Definitely.
Well, I want to talk about that in a moment, because in any business, the differentiating factor is critical. And you definitely have defined that. So let's take a quick break so I don't have to interrupt you. And we will be right back. My guest is Justin Marks of Marks Foods. And you're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please do stay tuned.
Eat steak, eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer? Eat beef, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great day meal when I'm in the mood.
Enjoy your food, but eat less. A simple way to eat less is to be mindful of what you're eating. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Eat slowly and enjoy the taste and texture of your food. Use hunger and fullness as cues to recognize when you've had enough. Healthy meals start with fruits, vegetables, and smaller portions of proteins and grains. And don't forget to choose low-fat or fat-free dairy. This is registered dietitian Jim White. Visit eatright.org for more healthy tips.
At Sundown Communications, we find that most of our clients are brilliant at what they do, but they lack the time and resources to write and create business messaging that delivers results. That's where we come in, providing a diverse range of professional copywriting services for fresh strategic web content, PR, advertising and promotion, marketing, speeches, and much more. Call us today so you can focus on what you do best, and we'll do the rest. Call 800-495-7617. That's 800-495-7617.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair discusses issues that are important to you, like good health and well-being, finding a new job and building your business, overcoming life's big challenges and making sense out of chaos, and living with passion and joy. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for show schedule and guest information.
Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair has a new Facebook page, so you can see what's happening on our show and what we're up to between shows. Like us on Facebook and look out for upcoming contest drawings.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Steak, do we have one deer? Beep, 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 it's a mighty good food. It's a great A meal when I'm in the mood.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Justin Marks of MarksFoods.com. And Marks is spelt with an X, M-A-R-X. And Justin has recently launched a new showroom here in Seattle. They've been in business for many years, since 1895. He's the fifth generation. But I want to talk a little bit, Justin, about something we were discussing before the break, and that's your differentiating factor, because in every business, that is a key factor to mm-hmm. success. And you very clearly defined how you are different from other companies. So talk to us a little about that, if you would.
Well, I think that the one factor that encapsulates all of the differentiating factors is that we actually do what our marketing says we do. A lot of companies say, you know, we sell the finest quality, we provide the best customer service. They've kind of just turned into these meaningless mm-hmm. platitudes. But we go out of our way to do all those things. So yes, we have, I think, the finest product in every category that we offer. My customer service team is awesome, and we take care of our customers. We bend over backwards to take care of our customers. And even when we feel like we're right, we still bend over backwards. So I think we do what our marketing says we do.
Yeah, and that's a big thing, as you say, these days. And we can talk a little bit more about that when we talk about the food that you photograph, because there were some key examples on there. But how did you get from you said you're on your sixth iteration of the website right now. You're updating that constantly and changing it constantly to fit the digital age. So when did the store idea come into effect?
Well, when we moved into our office, or our previous office, which was right next door to our current one, there was a street level entrance. And we realized, we said, wow, you know, we've always kind of operated in these little niches, and we handle specialty food, so nothing is ever really huge volume. So we're always kind of thinking about what else we could do, other ways that we can sell product. And we thought, well, you know, we've got a street level entrance. We can put up a retail shop here. And we thought for a long time about, you know, what would it look like? What would we do? And the current shop that we have, we actually were planning for about 18 months. Most of the time it was just talk, but but eventually we got down to work.
But look at, I'm in reality now. You took that from just talk and an idea, and it is a beautiful store. You have you have a test kitchen there. I mean, you have a fabulous office upstairs, and it is really an amazing store.
Thank you.
I'm sure you must be very proud of it.
I am extremely proud.
So talk to us a little bit about the store itself and what makes that different for consumers coming in.
Yep. So a lot of the products that we have in our Lower Queen Anne shop are unique to the Seattle market. I hit the road last year and went searching farmers markets, retail shops all over the country and even overseas, looking for really unique, distinctive things to bring them back to Seattle. And so that's one key thing. The other is that because we were online for 5 years, we had to develop all of the tools that you need in order to sell in the online space. So we developed about 800 recipes and another 200 or so pieces of content, which would be guides, tutorials, comparisons, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So we've, via some iPads that are merchandised in the shop and QR codes and an app called Ansible, we've actually connected our shop with all of the digital assets that we have. So if a customer comes in, they say, wow, these venison racks, how should I make these venison racks? Especially because some of the items are expensive, so you don't want to make mistakes. We can scan a code and bring up a screen where the recipes are, and whatever the customer like, we can then instantly email to them. So we can show them how to use these ingredients. So that's one of our big distinguishing factors.
Yeah, I love that. You showed me how that worked. I came down to a private tasting, which was awesome. Do you do many of those tastings? What kind of events are you doing at the store right now?
Right now, we're just doing the private tastings. We have tastings every day. Not private. We just always have a few things out on the tasting table. We'll select something, maybe our local products, maybe our spicy products, whatever, kind of at our whim. And then, yeah, people, if they can join a list, and we send out an email to our listserv and say, you know, whoever wants to come in for private tasting, here's the next few opportunities. And then we'll taste a much broader selection of our products, maybe 20, 30, 40 products, or quite frankly, whatever our guests want to taste.
Right. And the store's been open since just before Christmas, I think, right? Is that correct?
Yep, November 26th. We got our doors
26th.
Open.
Wow. Right around Thanksgiving time, just after Thanksgiving. I said to you when I met you, it was too bad you weren't open when Top Chef was here, because I'm sure they'd have sent them in shopping to you.
That would be cool.
So what do you hope, I mean, early days with the store, it just opened, but where do you see this year going?
This year is going to be a big year for us. And for the shop, the thing is that we made it through the holidays. We had a great holiday season, but in a lot of ways, we're starting all over again. One of the things that I've discovered in business for 10 years now is that the type of business that I want to create, really long-term viable business for the next generation and the generation after that, is built upon relationships. And we literally, just like online, with the shop here in Seattle, we're going to be building relationships with our customers one at a time, and that takes time. So in a way, we have a tremendous amount of work to do just to make the shop work. So
you do, and so the I had a thought then, and it just flew out of my head. It's okay. This happens occasionally.
Yeah.
But so with the tastings and the events and the store itself, where do you focus most of your time? What does your day look like?
So my day, because we have a restaurant distributor, we do wholesale distribution, I have a lot of responsibilities across the company, including the online, obviously. My day looks different every day, but I've been spending as much time as I can down on the floor of the retail shop, trying to connect with customers and really trying to figure out what this shop can become and what our culture is going to be. And the only way that I can do that is by talking to the people that come in the door, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what kind of products they want to have, how they want to use the store, how we can be of service to them.
Yeah. And that just brought back the thought that just flew out of my head. And it was about community, because I know you want to be very community oriented. And how do you see yourself fitting in there? How do you see yourself working with the community?
Well, I think that we have two main communities for the retail shop. One is just foodies in general in Seattle that want to always be looking to work with new ingredients. They want to experiment. They want to try new things. They want to connect with their food in a different way. You know, they want to be part of a tasting panel or come to photo shoots and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like broader Seattle, anybody who's into food. But then also in lower Queen Anne and upper Queen Anne, all of Queen Anne really, we really want to be kind of the neighborhood's specialty grocer. So I ask everybody who comes in the store what they would like to see on the shelves that they don't currently see. But I really make a point to ask people in Queen Anne, because I really want to serve. I want to be the specialty grocer for our neighborhood.
Yeah, I love this. I'm going to read this. This was on your website. You list, you're guided by the following principles. And one of those is sell the star of the meal. And you say, we're dedicated to finding the very best foods and bringing them to you. We'll never sell conventional ground beef or plain ketchup in bulk. What you can buy from us is the center of the plate, the conversation piece of the meal, or that hidden ingredient that takes a dish's flavor profile to a new level of complexity. And I know that you taste every single item you sell. Tell us what it's like at a tasting party.
You know, it is a party to a certain degree, but it's also work. I've caught myself complaining to friends and family about how arduous of a job it is to find and taste all of these food products. And then I got to kind of smack myself, because it really is dream job material. But it's remarkably challenging, actually. First of all, everything on the shelf has been put through a tasting panel. And the way that we got the products in-house in the first place is either that I've traveled to farmers markets and retail shops across the country looking for distinctive products, or we've read about the products in national magazines like Food & Wine, Bon Appetit, that kind of thing. So we start with this really high-quality group of products. We call anything that I don't travel back with, we call in for samples. And once we hit about 75 items, we'll convene a tasting panel, and that will consist of my staff and some local bloggers, chefs, and then we taste. And actually, only about the number, it's around 20% of the products that we taste actually end up on our shelves.
Wow, that's a lot of food you're tasting.
It's a lot. And and actually, it's
I'd
really
be 500
hard.
Pounds.
Yeah, exactly. It's very challenging. By the end of a tasting of 100 products, we're just, you know, we're totally snotty. We're like, oh, this isn't very good, you know, and exhausted.
Right.
And want to go take a nap. And our stomach hurts. So
right, I can imagine. Now, do you find that, you know, some things that I thought, wow, that sounds really interesting, I didn't care for as much. One, because it had cinnamon and I'm not a cinnamon fan. And other things I thought, oh, that doesn't sound good. For example, coconut jam. Right. And it was delicious.
Yep. We've definitely had some surprises. You know, there's some, and that's one of the hard parts too, is to kind of taste things without prejudging them.
Mm.
Many things that we've tasted have surprised us, but probably more things that we thought would be awesome turned out not to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I go, if you think about it, the products that I'll go scout at farmers markets and such, and I'll bring back, they're all products that I at some point thought would be fantastic. So I've been disappointed many, many times.
Right. Let's talk about photo shoots, because, you know, I've worked on many photo shoots myself. I know the tricks that go on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't done too many food styling shoots. And I was, I guess I wasn't really surprised to see that when they use milk on photo shoots, mm-hmm. they often use Elmer's glue.
Exactly. Yeah.
All of yours are naturally photographed, right?
Yeah. Well, I think that was one of the first rules that I ever made for Mark's Foods, and that was that anything that we shoot, we would eat. And there's a number of reasons. One, we don't want to waste food, and so much food gets wasted as it is. So we don't want to waste food. I want my staff to be able to taste everything that comes through our doors, just so we can know about it and we can talk to our customers about it. And And anyway, you don't have to use all those funky photo tricks. You know, if our photography is 95% of the way to perfect or 95% of the way to awesome, that's fine.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you eat it afterwards. Nothing goes to waste because, you know, I've been in shoots where just the waste is horrendous.
And, mountains of food get thrown away.
So let's look at another couple of guiding principles here. One of them is to foresee food trends. Now, I'm guessing that, you know, that all the television shows have made a big difference to your business because consumers like me have become more interested and it's got people, you know, back into the kitchen that maybe like to cook but just got lazy about it. How do you predict trends? What do you have to do to stay up with everything and predict what's coming next?
Well, one way that we can predict now that we couldn't before, because our business has grown so much larger, we can look at our data and actually see category growth in a statistically significant way that we weren't able to before. So we can look at our sales numbers and say, okay, what's blowing up? And but then also just being out there, you know, being at trade shows, eating out, traveling, looking to see what's popping up at farmers markets and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And another thing that I like you do is connect people to the source. Mm-hmm. You admit that maybe on the sustainability side of things, one issue you need to work on is that a lot of the product is flown.
Yep.
And you're trying to find ways around that. But you cut out many steps by having it flown directly from the source to the customer.
Yep, that's true. Our product selections are really driven first and foremost by deliciousness and quality. But fortunately, there's a certain correlation between these days between the highest quality foods and the most sustainably produced foods. So we always try to select foods that are more sustainable, more organic, et cetera, et cetera. We don't come out in a big way and market ourselves that way because I hate greenwashing. And I hate it when companies take one little thing and then they try to make themselves look like they're some eco company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the inherent conflicts that we have, no matter what, is that we're shipping product.
Yeah, so. And this is all part of your principle, be authentic, be transparent,
right.
which I love because you're trying to really live that
mm-hmm.
That sentiment. So on the sustainability front, you've got some things here. I'm going to ask you this because you said that you'll argue it is sustainable. Wild boar meat.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people tell us, you know, environmentalists stay away from meat, et cetera,
right.
Because it's not sustainable to our environment. Wild boar meat. Talk to us about that.
Well, so wild boar meat is, it comes out of Texas Hill Country. It's very analogous to the kangaroo meat that we have out of Australia. No natural predators, and they reproduce like crazy. And have become extremely invasive species. They tear up habitat, farmland, natural places, and they've become a major pest. So it is not hard to make the argument that to eat wild boar meat is an environmental act.
Yeah, and these aren't factory raised. These are all farm products that we're talking about anyway. So there's a huge difference too.
No, they're wild.
Oh, they're wild.
They're actually wild. They're actually trapped in the wild.
Okay, I actually thought this is enlightening to me mm-hmm. because I actually thought wild boar would be farmed.
No.
I thought they were caught and farmed.
There's some product on the market that is a formerly wild species that has, like all of our meat, become domesticated sold as wild boar. But it's a pretty small portion of the market, almost all of it. And certainly everything that we sell is wild.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. You also talk about pink salmon because we hear a lot about salmon being endangered on, you know, various points throughout the year. It's on and off the list quite often. Why do you argue that's a good thing to have?
Well, pink salmon is one of my favorite products for sure. I get ours from Loki, which is a local company, really great company. And pink salmon is the most abundant of the salmon species. It's also the most tender, and for that reason, most of the pink salmon that gets harvested goes straight into a can because if you don't handle it really carefully, then it gets bruised easily. So, but Loki fish, they catch them really carefully. They handle them very well. And it's an excellent product. And it's the most abundant species, and it's also a vegetarian species. So it eats low on the food chain, less bioaccumulation of toxins and those mm-hmm. kind of things. So,
of the foods that you sell, and I'm sure this changes, you know, from day to day, maybe week to week. What's your favorite right now?
I have a lot of favorites. You know, when you go into a restaurant, and you say to the server, you say, "What's good on the menu?" They tell you everything, and then you're like, you can't even really trust them. You know?
Yeah.
People come into the shop all the time. They say to me, "What's the best here?" And I am always inclined to say, "Well, you know, everything's pretty awesome." And I'm aware of the fact that I'm probably losing credibility, but the fact of the matter is, I've hand selected every product in that shop pretty much, and we go through a democratic process, and we actually vote products in. So some of them are on the shelves that I wouldn't have necessarily put in myself. But nonetheless, I do have some favorites. A few of my favorites right now is some fermented krauts from Midori Farms over on the Olympic Peninsula. The Midori Farms not only makes the krauts, but they also grow the vegetables that go into it. So they control the whole process. That's really good. I'm also really loving right now, we've got some soda syrups from P&H Soda Syrup Company in Brooklyn. The three flavors we have is hibiscus, sarsaparilla, and lovage. Mm-hmm. And those are fantastic as cocktail mixers or just added to some sparkling water. I'm always a big fan of dried wild mushrooms from the Pacific Northwest. I think that they can really take a dish to the next level. And similarly, our line of dried chilies. It's the types of ingredients that once you start working with them, it actually really changes your cuisine in a really delicious way.
And I'm assuming you cook yourself.
Yes, I do.
The whole family cooks, right?
Oh, actually, yes, we all do. And we all have our distinctive styles, for sure. My brothers are definitely, they're like hardcore carnivores. So they've got the meats dialed in. Me, I didn't eat meat for many years. So I'm not now eating a little bit of meat again and slowly learning how to cook it. But yeah, we all cook a lot.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. My guest is Justin Marks of Marks Foods. And when we come back, I'm going to ask Justin about some fun stuff that's coming up. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay tuned.
Antioxidants, you've heard of them, but do you know what they're good for or where to get them? This is Sylvia Escott Stump of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Antioxidants, they destroy the free radicals that cause cellular damage, and eating foods that are rich in antioxidants may help prevent cancer and heart disease. These foods include red wine in addition to grape juice, whole grain pasta, eggs, seafood, and canned beans, brightly colored vegetables, carrots, squash, broccoli, all the peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and kale are other tasty sources. And for those of you with a sweet tooth, good news. Honey, brown sugar, and maple syrup, in addition to fruits like blueberries, cantaloupe, peaches, and strawberries, also contain significant levels of antioxidants. Encouraging you to eat right, I'm registered dietitian Sylvia Escott Stump with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics.
OMG! Grammar abuse is no LOL! Hire a copywriter today and make sure your business communications rise above the crowd and deliver the results you need. Call 800-495-7617 today. BTW, IMHO, copywriters rule. Call 800-495-7617. BFN.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to EarthPet and Issaquah, we cover the world of animals. This week, January 13th, change of schedule, it's a Kevin and Kim Sunday. Always entertaining, Kevin McDonald and Kim Miller Medium and Animal Intuitive will host the show for me. Great talk and open phone lines for your calls. Kim can help you connect with your animal or human loved ones on this side or the other, so plan to give her a call. And Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Joanne Fleischer was a seemingly happily married mom with a loving husband living the suburban life. That is, until she fell in love with another woman and the world as she knew it turned inside out. Tune in Mondays at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See conversationslive.net for more than 200 podcasts on topics from health, wealth, and personal growth to running your own business, career strategies, and chasing adventure.
Hi, this is Vicki St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4255.
4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicky St. Clair.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair, and there's a nod there to the wild boar on the music. My guest is Justin Marks of MarksFoods.com, and it's Marks, M-A-R-X. You'll find the store down on 144 Western Avenue, Lower Queen Anne, right?
144 Western Avenue West.
West.
Very important.
Isn't it right opposite the old Seattle PI building? Because the Globe is still there. I seem to remember seeing that one. So it's really easy to find. It's right on the corner.
Yep. It's on Western, right across from the PI Globe. When you're standing in our shop, you can see the Globe right from our shop.
Yeah, fabulous. All right, so we want to talk about some fun stuff. But before we do that, let's ask you about, as a businessman, a CEO, your biggest mistake. We all make them. Biggest learning curve, biggest mistake.
Right. Well, I've been extremely cautious. And everything that we've done has kind of been on a shoestring. And really, so a lot of my mistakes have been tiny mistakes. When I think about the biggest one, it was probably when we were launching MarksFoods.com. Despite having already created two websites, when we were launching the third, we really went into it with a .com mentality. And we still shoestrung it, so we didn't, you know, lose a bunch of money or anything like that. But we kind of had this idea that it's very seductive to think about, you know, something like, well, we're a fine restaurant distributor, so all we have to do is make ourselves available to the world, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be easy. They will come, you know. And as it's turned out, what I've learned is that it's really about a lot of hard work over time. And like I said, building relationship by relationship. So my biggest mistake in that regard may have just been my frame of mind going into it, because I think I was really disappointed 3 months, 6 months into it, that all of a sudden, you know, we weren't making millions and millions of dollars off of the site.
Right. And you definitely have. I mean, now I know you're going through another one version now, but you definitely have that sense of community on the site. You know, I read a lot of questions that people had sent in. How do I serve this with that? Or, you know, what's the best way to do this? And so there is that sense of community there. Best advice you've ever received?
Well, I think that possibly the best advice is actually related to this. I've got one of my neighbors that recently, he's a little older, probably in his 60s. He recently sold his business, and he told me, he said, the only thing it takes for overnight success is about 15 years of hard work. And there's so much truth to that.
I love that. I have a friend who's an author, and I think he wrote like 12 books, and then in his 22nd year, he was, quote, an overnight success.
Right, of course.
Because it went to number one. Yep. And it's, you know, and he's like, it's laughable.
Yeah. Well, nobody sees all the mistakes and the late nights and the hard work and the redoing and the fixing. And, you know, nobody sees that. They just see when you get big.
Yeah. And how many hours a week do you estimate you put into your business? Because that's another thing, I think, when people fall down, they do not realize how dedicated you have to be to have a successful business.
I'd say over the course of a year, I probably average around 50 to 60 hours a week. During the holidays, it's more like 70. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which is a tremendous amount of work. But it's all worth it. And another piece of advice is, or at least another saying is, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Right.
And that's true for me. I love what I do. So I put in long hours, but I'm really committed to it. I'm really enjoy the challenge. And it's all good.
Yeah. And I think that shows in your staff, too.
Yeah. I've got a great staff. And I think that they're all very happy with their jobs. One of my mantras is to always, I'm always looking for opportunities to create mutual growth. So the sweet spot, as far as I'm concerned, for everything that I do, but especially when it comes to staff, is that if I can create a situation where my staff can grow and develop their careers and the business can grow and I can grow all at the same time, I mean, that's that's the best right there.
Yeah, yeah. And I love your customer service perspective, because you know, if you call during business hours, you actually get a human being, because I get so tired of being circuited through, you know, several different channels before I actually speak to a human being.
Yep, we pick up the phone, and a lot of people are surprised by that. We get a lot of feedback from our customers just about how happy they are, about how accessible we are. Like you said, with the question and answer, we've got a blog where people can submit any kind of culinary question. And if we don't know the answer, we'll do the research. And we have the same thing even in the shop itself.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about some of the fun stuff coming up. You are heading off to New Zealand for what purpose?
Basically a food scouting mission. Right now...
Can I come?
Yeah. Anybody can come. So right now, we have a line of grass-fed beef out of New Zealand that is amazing. And it's doing really well. We're very proud of it. It's being praised by all over the place. Restaurants, consumers, we're in some big chains, and it's just impeccable. So we're going there for meetings with our vendor to just kind of develop our relationships. But I'm also going to find food products. So probably about half of the trip is going to be about scouting. I want to open up a pipeline for New Zealand artisanal food products into the U.S., and I also want to look at other grass-fed meat programs.
Mm, awesome. I always remember my grandmother would never buy any lamb except New Zealand lamb, ever. Yeah. She wouldn't even eat it if it wasn't New Zealand.
Yeah.
And then you're also heading off to Japan mm-hmm. on an all-expenses paid, I understand, trip.
Yes.
Tell us how that came. That's pretty exciting.
It's actually really exciting. It's quite an honor. The Japanese Chamber of Commerce reached out to me and invited me to come for 2 weeks to Japan and go meet food producers and tour agricultural areas. And I said, absolutely.
And do you know much about Japan and the food industry over there? Is it very radically different to you?
I don't know a tremendous amount about it, but I'm about to learn. Japan was the first country that I ever visited, though, outside of the States and outside of, like, you know, Caribbean islands and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually really looking forward to going. And some of my earliest kind of adventurous food memories were from Japan. So I'm actually pretty excited.
And what do you think their motive is inviting you out there?
Oh, well, they want to sell product
yeah. in the U.S.
Yeah. 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 They want to expand the U.S. I'd imagine that a lot of countries have programs like this. You know, they want to expand their exports, and, you know, they've got a lot of fine products. We've got a lot of people here who want to eat fine products. So they will be, I'm sure they're going to be trying to sell me heavily.
I'm sure. But hey, you know, free trip to Japan.
I'll take it.
It is awesome. Lots to learn out there. And do you have a typical customer? Have you profiled? You know, a lot of companies profile a typical customer. Right. Is that something you've done?
No. We've been so focused on building the business that we haven't really even, people ask me questions like that all the time, and we haven't even dug into our analytics to figure out whether it's more men or women, or we haven't tried to figure out anything. And one thing that I do know, especially because online, and we've got about 1,300 products online, and we're in all kinds of tiny little niches. So I think it's really hard to define our customers, but maybe what they all have in common is anybody who loves fine food loves Mark's Foods.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, if somebody went to your website, what do you think they would be really surprised to find on there?
Oh, wow. There's so much. Everything from ghost chilies, which is the spiciest chili in the world, or one of them. Sorry, it just got passed by the Trinidad Moruga scorpion chili.
But, oh, it did?
Yeah, yeah, right. And exotic meats. A lot of people comment on the exotic meats. We've got a tremendous depth of product, you know, meat cuts, species, and recipes around those products. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we've got about 50 varieties of edible flowers. And that's one of the categories that's growing really nicely. Brides are loving them for weddings mm-hmm. and others for events and such. So,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
my brother likes to tease me about selling flowers because, like I said, they're pretty hardcore carnivores. But.
And lots of pickles, lots of artisan jams, supporting the local community. I mean, it's just an experience just to go down there and look around the store. Final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with real quick.
If there's anything that we can do to help people take their cooking game to the next level, to help make their lives more delicious, we're all about it. So come down and check out the shop in Lower Queen Anne, and we'd be happy to. We can't wait to meet you.
Okay, and again, that's 144th Western Avenue West.
Yep.
Right opposite the old PI Globe. And you can find out more about Justin and his team and their work at marksfoods.com. And Marks is with an X, marksfoods.com. Justin, Marks, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. This was fun.
And I want to thank each of you for listening and spending this hour with us today. We'll be back next week with an all-new live show. But if you have comments or feedback on today's show or suggestions for upcoming topics, we'd love to hear them. You can reach me at info@conversationslive.net. That's info@conversationslive.net or at 800-495-7617, 800-495-7617. And next week, we're going to, you know, we had JJ Virgin from the PBS special scheduled for the first couple of minutes today, but we rescheduled that for next week. So she's going to be joining us about food intolerance and why it may be keeping you from losing weight. And it's really, her work is really, really good. She's the go-to person for Dr. Phil. So we'll see you next week. Until then, live well, live strong. Hi, this is Vicky St. Clair. If you have a business, service, or event and would like to deliver your message to a large audience, call me at 425-269-4772. Let Conversations Live shine the spotlight on you. Call 425-269-4772.